E-Tidings Cosmos. Good morning, 21st century world of worlds. This is Radio Richard Ireland, coming to you from within the soundproofless studio of life itself. Tá míle fáilte rótan seo. I am your host, Richard McSweeney. Hear this, listener, give it here your fullness of ear. From the beginning there is breath, and upon that breath there are words. Red is sign, quality and freshness checked throughout every day. Although I thought it would have been more appropriate to have it say, quality and freshness checked throughout the day, still it appeared to me to be a very nice way when it comes for me to be checking in on my ideas throughout the day, checking in on their quality, their relevance, freshness and potency. And the sage in the digital age speaks of the philosopher of old saying, pleasure in living life was his dwelling place. He stayed far away from any ideas that would deprive him of his pleasure in living life. The ideas of the Druids and the Christians greatly displeased him, and however grandiosely, skilfully, and proudly they arrayed them before him, he simply had no place, no use for them in his mind. They were worthless things for his thoughts. He would not yield or bow before such successful deceptions. There would be no giving away of his mind to them, for his mind was a sacred place, and unwaveringly did he intend to keep it that way. There is no place where pleasure doesn't exist, he would oft be heard to say. There is pleasure in the valleys, in the pasture lands, on the hills, and in the sky, and pleasure it is that is within, he would say. And most assuredly, within pleasure dwell we do. In today's broadcast, I'll be reading from William Shakespeare's As You Like It, Tao Te Ching, and the true classic of Southern Taoist fragrance. This is a reading in continuity from As You Like It. As I remember, Adam, it was upon this fashion bequeathed me, by will but poor, 1,000 crowns, that, and, as thou sayest, charged my brother, on his blessing, to breed me well, and there begins my sadness. My brother Jacques he keeps at school, and report speaks goldenly of his profit. For my part, he keeps me rustically at home, or, to speak more properly, stays me here at home unkept. For call you that keeping for a gentleman of my belt that differs not from the stalling of an ox? His horses are bred better, for besides that they are fair with their feeding, and they are taught their manage, and to that end riders dearly hired, but I, his brother, gain nothing under him but growth, for the which his animals and his dunghills are as much bound to him as I. Besides this nothing that he so plentifully gives me, the something that nature gave me his countenance seems to take from me. He lets me feed with his hinds, bars me the place of a brother, and as much as is in him lies, minds my gentility with my education. This is it, Adam, that grieves me, and the spirit of my father, which I think is within me, begins to mutiny against this servitude. I will no longer endure it, though yet I know no wise remedy how to avoid it. Yonder comes my master, your brother. Go apart, Adam, and thou shalt hear how he will shake me up.
Now, sir, what make you here?
Nothing, I am not taught to make anything. What mar you then, sir?
Marry, sir, I am helping you to mar that which God made, a poor unworthy brother of yours, but idleness.
Marry, sir, be better employed, and be naught a while.
Shall I keep your hogs and eat husks with them? What prodigal portion have I spent, that I should come to such penury?
Know you where you are, sir?
Oh, sir, very well, here in your orchard.
Know you before whom, sir? I better than him I am before knows me,
I know you are my eldest brother, and in the gentle condition of blood, you should so know me. The courtesy of nations allows you my better, in that you are the firstborn, but the same tradition takes not away my blood, where there are 20 brothers betwixt us. I have as much of my father in me as you, albeit, I confess, your coming before me is nearer to his reverence. What, boy? Come, come, elder brother, you are too young in this. Wilt thou lay hands on me, villain? I am no villain. I am the youngest son of Sir Roland de Boys. He was my father, and he is thrice a villain that says such a father begot villains. Were thou not my brother, I would not take this hand from thy throat till this other had pulled out thy tongue for saying so. Thou hast rallied on thyself. Sweet masters, be patient, for your father's remembrance be at accord. Let me go, I say. I will not till I please. You shall hear me. My father charged you in his will to give me good education. You have trained me like a peasant, obscuring and hiding me from all gentlemanlike qualities. The spirit of my father grows strong in me, and I will no longer endure it. Therefore allow me such exercises as may become a gentleman, or give me the poor allotry my father left me by testament. With that I will go buy my fortunes. And what wilt thou do? Beg, when that is spent? Well, sir, get you in it. I will not long be troubled with you. You shall have some part of your will. I pray you leave me. I will no further offend you than becomes me for my good. Get you with him, you old dog. Is old dog my reward? Most true, I have lost my teeth in your service, and God be with my old master. He would not have spoke such a word.
Tao Dai Jing, Installment 14. Something which we look at and cannot see shall be called invisible. Something to which we listen and cannot hear shall be called inaudible. Something which we seize and cannot grasp shall be called intangible. These things are not available to be researched for realization when taken singly. Hence, when we unite them again, we obtain the true one. Its upper part is not bright, and its lower part is not obscure. It works in its way perpetually, without an end, but we can't know its motive. Then this can be traced in the state of nothingness. This is called a form of formlessness and semblance of nothingness. This is called the fleet of the indeterminable. We can neither retrace to see its beginning, nor can we expect to see its end. When we hold the primordial Tao, we can rule today's being. Since we can know the beginning of heaven and earth, we know the outline of the Tao. This is an interpretation, after my own fashioning, of some lines from the true classic of Southern Taoist fragrance. No three-star visitor spoke to me, saying, Immaculate Avera, what stories, what anecdotes, what insights do you bring to this new dawn? There was, back in the days of old, a sage of a valley of the south, and he was a well-travelled sage, who had for some 19 years sojourned in different places far beyond the isle. With having been 17 years already back from sojourning in faraway lands, and with having withdrawn himself for the most part from the world at large, he of a day began to feel as if he was a captive in this his own land, a type of captivity of having no physical constraints laid upon him, yet he felt he himself to be a captive. If he walked in a southerly direction for, say, 5 hours, he would reach the sea, and even ever before reaching it, he would have been able to see it way off in the distance. And yet, standing on the shore, filled him with sadness and a longing to be free from the invisible entanglements of his native land and his people. If he headed off walking in a northwesterly direction,
he would in 9 to 10 hours reach the foot of one of the highest mountains of the south. And even ever before reaching it, he would have been able to see it way off in the distance. Yet, when with standing on its summit and looking about in all directions, he would feel sad, and a longing would rise up within him to go travel again in faraway lands. Of a day, he was sitting by a shimmering brook, and he was composing a verse of poetry, when along came this king of Alandri, who spoke to him, saying, I have heard that you are well acquainted with humanity, with what it is to be fully human. I venture to ask what its essential elements are, for I wish to take its subtlest influences to have even more control over my people. What you wish to ask about, Your Majesty, is the original substance of all humans. What you wish to have the direction of is that substance as it was before it became distorted and reshaped over and over until reaching its present state, that of inhumanity. According to your ruling of your Landry, a Landry which I am very familiar with, having been born just within its northeastern border, anything goes, it seems. From allowing your people to be unnatural with each other, to allowing them to take the lives of their children at will, and the lives of their elderly. Given thus, I am not convinced you will be even able to accept what I would relate to you concerning humanity. Well, what if I were to take a hiatus of, say, a month from ruling to reflect in what you have said? Would that be enough for you to tell me? Take a whole year instead, and then come back to me. The king withdrew from out of the presence of the sage of the valley, to take a 1 year hiatus from the ruling of his kingdom, in order to reflect on what he had heard. He went and dwelt alone in a solitary villa for the entire year before returning to again talk with the sage of the valley. When he got there, he found the sage lying on a rock and gazing up at the clouds. With an air of honest-to-goodness deferential submission, the king went forward, and in a low voice he graciously spoke to him, saying, I have heard that you are well acquainted with humanity, with what it is to be fully human. I venture to ask what its essential elements are, for I wish to know of them that I may be a better person and a better ruler of my people. An excellent question, Your Majesty, couched as it is too in a fine disposition. The essence of humanity is being human. Being human is to be noble, and to be a noble human being is to be natural. To be natural is to consider all human life to be precious. And that preciousness for life is extended in almost full part, even to the birds of the air, the fishes of the waters, and the cattle of the fields. Alas, the stomach needs to be satisfied, otherwise the human will not be able to survive. May it be so, though, that sometime in the future we humans will not have to bring to an end the life of animals for our own survival. Indeed, may it be so as you have said. Thank you so very much. You are most welcome, Your Majesty. Thank you for making my remaining here for yet another day on the island so worthwhile. And the king, with ever deeply internalizing what he had heard from the sage, returned to his palace to introduce it to his people. It was said that he had at first met with some desperate opposition from them, for the whole concept of humanity had by this time long been relegated by them into insignificance. In a dawn reverie of this new day, meditated I on what an immortal self of mine did say, did lovingly relay way back in days of long, long, long gone by. O mortal self of mine, when but living in your own realm and time, you will show your ways to yourself, teach yourself you will, in your own paths. All right. I will leave it at that for today. Enjoy taking very good care of yourself and those around you. Be ever so grateful for your many blessings. And spare a thought, too, for peoples living in faraway places, in all different kinds of situations, often very difficult, and not at all of their own making. You have been listening to an Irish philosopher of the natural kind, bringing radio to the internet via Radio Richard Ireland, on the air globally for about 15 minutes, Monday to Friday. The script format of today's broadcast will be available at a future date on AuthenticClosetDramaScripts.com. It is truly an honor to have your listening. May you be a blessing unto yourself by way of your past, by way of your present, and by way of your future. Slán agus beannacht leat.